you know, we sit down in front of the television set, and the hard research shows us that in under 3 minutes, you're going to go into an altered state that we call alpha. That's a slowed brainwave activity. Normal consciousness is beta. Alpha is 8 to 14 cycles per second. And it's the same state that we call a hypnosis state. So you're going to go into this altered state in front of that television set. And in your lifetime, you know, the average person that reaches 65 today is going to have spent 9 years of their lifetime in front of that television set. That seems to me, you know, just unbelievable. But it accumulates on a basis of 3 hours and 46 minutes a day, 52 days 52 weeks of the year. So what you're really looking at when you're in front of that television set is you're in a hyper state of suggestibility. That's what I have testified in a court of law as an expert on hypnosis, and that's exactly the definition we would use for hypnosis in a forensic setting. It is a hyper state of suggestibility. What does that mean? Well, it means if I take an ice cube and I suggest to you I'm going to burn you, I touch you on your arm, you will blister, because your expectation is so geared for that. So here you are, you're in front of the television set, and what are you taking in now? Well, you're going to take in all of the information. If what you're watching is, you know, entertainment that is violent and aggressive, you're going to take aboard the notions, the ideas that are incorporated in it, such as it's okay to get even. You may even find yourself, you know, using the one-liners or buying the bumper stickers. Go ahead and make my day. I don't get even, I get evener. But what's more, you're also taking in an agenda. Everybody has an agenda, and you know, the world is very sophisticated today about this. I mean, utilizing such things as functional magnetic resonance imaging and positron emission tomography, the PET scans, individuals are actually watched lifetime. Their brain is monitored. While various experiences and stimuli are presented, and in that process, we learn lots of things, some of which are very surprising. Take, for example, a study that was conducted in the United Kingdom now, just about 2 years ago, showed that when you showed a smoker the warning on a pack of cigarettes, the Surgeon right. General's warning, the nucleus caught it. A reward center in the brain was excited, lit up, to use the words of fMRI, indicating that that caused the smoker to want to smoke more.
Oh.
Yeah, rather counterintuitive. But so what's the answer to the tobacco companies? Well, we'll blow it up, make it bolder, and put it on more sides of the pack.
Because they knew this. They knew how to react with something like that, so they obviously played to it. And you know what? Who in terms of any legislators or lawyers, could fault them? You know, the Surgeon General says this is not healthy. We want the world to know that, folks, so we've made it bigger, but they know the secret.
And you are absolutely right, but that is all a part of what Bernays called the propaganda scheme anyway.
Amazing.
You know, if I can deliver information to you that is information you want to hear, and it is logically consistent with why I would be delivering that information, and there is no better example that I can think of than this one right here, well, then, of course, no one's going to challenge it, even if you learn that it causes a smoker to want to smoke more.
You look like a hero unless they have emails that say, let's do this and get them to buy more.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So here you are. You're back, you know, in our television scene. You're in front of the television set, and along comes, you know, the commercial for the Gombu, and it tells you you're going to get it, but don't worry about it. You know, you can run to ABC Pharmacy. You can get XYZ drug, and then you can assume a supine position, and some loved one is going to dote on you. And that's the image that, you know, it's portrayed with. And of course, we buy that lock, stock, and barrel. I think of it as selling sickness. And indeed, we have cases where we've actually been able to verify that there is a one-on-one correspondence to the commercial hitting the airwaves and the onset of reported symptoms or an increase in identification of the dis-ease. For example, I think I may have discussed this one with you before, George, but there's no better example than the restless leg syndrome. When 3 years ago, almost four now, when that commercial hit the air, there was literally no reports of restless leg syndrome. If you look at the data the AMA has, as soon as it hit the air, there was an absolute synodial spiked function. I mean, if you looked at this on a chart, it was a straight line climbing the number of people that reported it. The patent on the drug expired. The commercial came off the air. And bang, back to baseline. Nobody reporting those symptoms.
Well, in the case, for example, of the warning for cigarette smoking, why do people, after they read the warning, still want to smoke and smoke more? Why? What is it about the human mind that does that?
Well, Freud would classify that as a thanatos urge. You know, that is the urge, the death urge. You know, we all walk around with kind of, you know, what I think of as the psychological law of self-exemption. Now, you don't need to go Google that. There is no such thing. It is just how I think of expressing the way people exclude themselves from, you know, being the subject of say, yeah, let's take the smoker. The smoker knows all of the woes about smoking, all of the diseases, all of the, but to them, it will happen to somebody else. Not to me.
Right.
And you know, this happens in many, many areas. Well, according to Freud, this thanatos urge is how we tempt death, how we push the fringes of death. Because we're all aware, back in the back of our heads, that, you know, that's one of those certainties. That's one of those things that could come any minute. We don't want to think about it. But sometimes being alive and really feeling alive requires pressing on the edge of the envelope to those things that are very dangerous. That's why we have people, you know, that do everything from bungee jumping to, you know, all you think of the daredevil kinds of things that people do, and they do for the thrill, the adrenaline rush, the charge they get out of it. Freud would classify that to be driven by this thanatos urge, this urge actually that propels us toward death, toward danger, toward the certainty of that. It's kind of, as opposed to run away from it, we run toward it. And that's not all that uncommon in other areas besides just, you know, death and dying. That is a mechanism, by the way, that is well understood by the neuromarketers today. One of the things that most people have trouble wrapping their head around is, why would an advertiser put demonic, you know, kinds of imagery into their visual ads or, you know, their video ads? Why would they put, you know, things that were satanic or that suggested death or that were, you know, the kind of horrible thing that we just, you know, none of us would really like to consciously recognize. And there are two reasons for that. One is, you know, direct at the thanatos, as we said. The other has to do with an implicit aspect. And that implicit aspect is, if I can create an arousal within you, then I've stimulated you sufficiently that I'll hold your attention or you'll be entertained.
That's
and
true.
There
That's
will
right.
be a memory association. Now, it's critical, media particularly, that they generate an arousal. Otherwise, you're bored. You're bored stiff, okay?
That's
so
right.
I have to have this arousal. Now, while they're creating the arousal, there's two things that happen. One is I have a heightened state of anxiety. Now, we'll hold that and come back to it in a second because anxiety in modern man, I mean, our primitive brain knows fight, flight. Our modern brain still knows the fight, unfortunately, perhaps too much so. But the flight for most people is anxiety or depression. I mean, acute depression is complete withdrawal, total flight. So set that aside. That's one element. The other element is, because they have done this, they have systematically desensitized our threshold of arousal. In other words, it takes more and more violence, more sex,